continued our study on the Ten Commandments. And we're down to the final two. And, you know, the one thing that we mentioned is the Bible says if you break one, you break them all. And, you know, the truth is we break the Ten Commandments just about every day. A lot of times we don't realize that we do because we get in the habit of doing things. And certainly one of the habits that we get into is what's mentioned here in verse 16. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." I think of all the Ten Commandments that we break all the time, this is one that we probably do it more without thinking about it than just about any other commandment. And that is the command not to lie. The command not to lie. You know, I've really, you don't hear too many sermons on lying. But many Christians really don't look at lying as being as grievous as some of the other sins. I mean, we look at, you know, thou shalt not kill. We look at that and it's like, boy, that's a pretty grievous sin, you know, to kill somebody. Or, you know, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. But again, if you break one of the commandments, you break them all. And all of them are God's commandments, and he's telling us not to do them. So it really, one's just as bad as the other. And a lot of people don't think that lying is that bad. But when you look at what the Bible actually has to say about lying, I tell you what, it puts you in pretty bad company. When a person decides that he is going to lie. You know, there are some people today that, many Christians today that will, you know, they'll take a stand against watching an inappropriate movie, but then they'll lie to drop of a hat. There are some Christians today that wouldn't dare put a wad of chew in their mouth, but they have no problems at all about being dishonest over certain things. There are, you know, maybe there are some women that are, you know, fanatics about making sure they dress right all the time, but yet they will say untruths about other people. What I'm trying to say is this, you know, it's really easy for us to, you know, pick out certain things and say, I would never do that. But the whole time you're over here doing something that the Lord's already told you not to do. Amen? And it seems to be, you know, there are a lot of people that go through this to where they lie. Spouses lie one to another in the name of keeping peace. Amen. Amen. Honey, how do I look in this dress? You look fine, dear. You know, not always they look fine, but we say it anyway. And the thing of it is, we try to justify it. We say, well, I had a good reason to lie. There is no good reason to lie. There is no good reason. Children lie to their parents. Sometimes parents lie to the children. Employers and employees lie one to another. Many times we make excuses and we try to justify our lying. For example, there are some who don't mind misleading others if they think it's good business. How many of you ever bought a car? Bought a used car? Listen, I'm not against anybody who's a car salesman. Don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you, I couldn't do it. Because if I did, I couldn't, honestly, I wouldn't sell many cars. Because if the only way I could sell it is somebody said, listen, I don't want to know anything about it. Just give me the price and I'll try to sell it that way. Truth of the matter is you know, sometimes there are business people that say, you know what, it's okay to be dishonest as long as I can do my job, as long as I can put money on the food on the table. It's okay for me to be dishonest. It's never okay for you to be dishonest. And so it's kind of like the store manager that heard his clerk tell a customer, no ma'am, we haven't had any of that for a while, and it doesn't look like we're going to be getting any soon. Horrified, the manager came running out to the customer and said, of course we'll have it soon. We'll place an order next week. Then the manager drew the clerk aside, and he said, never, 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 never say we're out of anything. Say we've got it on order, and it's coming. Now, what did she want anyway? The clerk said, rain. You know, that's what clerks do. That's what some people do in business. They think it's okay to be dishonest. They think it's okay to lie, as long as it's going to help them out. May I tell you, that's the way it's always been for all of us. How many of you learned to lie at a pretty young age? Everybody in this room did. Let me tell you why you lied when you were young. Because it was either going to save you from something that you thought it was going to save you from, or it was going to benefit you somehow. That's the same reason you lie today. It's either going to keep you from something, or it's going to benefit you somehow, or at least that's your thinking on it. And so that's the reason why advertisers lie to sell products. Politicians lie in order to spin things their way. But the Lord included this as one of the Ten Commandments, and I believe he takes this sin very seriously. In fact, I'll tell you how seriously he takes it. Revelation 21:8 says this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," that's a rough company, "and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, boy, I tell you what, do you know what you don't see there? Some of those other Ten Commandments that we think are so, that we hold up so much higher than lying. I don't see murders there. Well, there's murders there, but you don't see people, covetous isn't there. Adulterers isn't there. But liars are. How many of you think that the Lord takes that pretty seriously? Mark Twain once said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while truth is still lacing up her boots." How many of you understand this morning that you could tell the truth all your life, but you get caught lying one time and people look at you as being dishonest forever? Amen? That's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is. And so we learn at a young age to lie. We lied to get out of trouble. Most of the time, we didn't even give it a second thought. And you know, many of us have not changed. We still lie and think absolutely nothing of it. We like reading tabloids. We like hearing gossip. How many of you ever met a compulsive liar? A person who just has trouble telling the truth. Nine times out of ten, is somebody that you would say, well, you know, you have to take everything he says with a dose of salt. You can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. You know, sometimes people get to the point where they lie so much they actually start believing their own lies. They do. You know what a compulsive liar does? He lies in order to make himself better than those around him. In other words, he'll say things that he knows isn't true just to lift himself up in the eyes of other people. He'll say just about anything to make himself one that others envy. And the Bible has much to say about lying. For example, here's what Proverbs 6:19 says. And by the way, Proverbs 6:19 is the passage in Scripture that lists the seven things that the Lord hates in the Bible. Now, you know, when you think about the things that the Lord hates, just like when we read over in Revelation chapter 21 a while ago, lying is pretty rough company. And when you read it here in Proverbs, the things the Lord hates, if you go through the Old Testament and you look at everything that the Lord condemns and everything that the Lord calls abominations and everything that the Lord does not approve of, he lists here seven things that it says that he hates. Now, question, should we hate the things that the Lord hates? Yes. In fact, the more we become like Jesus Christ, the more things that we're going to love what the Lord loves, and we should start to hate the things that the Lord hates. Here's what it says in Proverbs 6:16-19. It says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And I want you to notice that two of these things are very similar. And guess which two they are? Well, guess what they have to do with being dishonest. Here they are: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises a wicked imagination, feet that is swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Wow, you have two of them. Two of the seven have to do with dishonesty. I'd say that pretty much tells me the Lord doesn't like lying. Amen? Let me ask you something. How many of you like to be lied to? You know, it's almost like somebody has just absolutely disrespected you. I mean, when they lie, it's like they have no respect for you whatsoever. But the Lord says he hates lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." You say, why is lying so bad? Well, certainly the Lord told us not to do it. But all, when you look at the origin of lying, in other words, where did it come from? When you start to look at things like that, you start to get a clearer picture of why the Lord hates it so much. And you say, well, what is the origin of lying? Where did it come from? We'll turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And again, I want you to, this morning as we're talking about this, I want you to just to think that every time that you consider being dishonest, and every time that you consider lying about something, I want you to consider the company that you're keeping. I want you to consider the other sins that are ranked right alongside of lying. Consider the fact that God hates lying, a lying tongue, and those that are dishonest. He hates that sin of lying. In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees in this passage. And he's pretty rough on them. But you know one thing about the Lord. He always spoke truth. Always. Therefore, everything that he says is absolute truth. Now here's what he says in John 8:44. He says to these Pharisees, he says, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So when you lie, do you know the origin of lying comes from the devil? He's a father of lies. And notice here, it says that he's the father of lies. And then he says, before he says that, he looks at those Pharisees and says, you are of your father, the devil. And then he says that he is the father of lies. So just think about this. When a Christian lies, you know what it makes him look like? Like he's unsaved. Makes him look like makes him look like the Pharisees who were of their father, the devil, because he's the father of lies. What I'm trying to say is you couldn't get further away from being Christ-like than when you lie. Can we tell you why? What did Jesus call himself? He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. But the devil's the father of lies. So when a Christian lies, you are being as far away from being Christ-like as you could possibly be. You're being like the devil. You're not being like Christ. Now, when it says there that he is a liar and he's the father of it, how far back did he start lying? We'll go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. You know, back when God had already made man, he had already created Eve, and they're in the garden, and then the devil shows up. The first time you see the devil in Scripture, do you know what he's doing? He's lying. Actually turn to Genesis chapter 2. I want to go there first, because I want to show you the truth first, and then we can look at the lie. And by the way, I will tell you the easiest way to spot a lie is know the truth. If you know the truth well, then it's easier to spot a lie. And that goes in everything. Let me tell you this. If you know your Bible this morning very well, and you've been studying your Bible, and you've been rightly dividing the word of truth and reading it, when somebody comes along and says something that against Scripture, you would be able to pick that up a whole lot easier, wouldn't you? Why? You've been reading it. So when somebody comes up and teaches something that isn't right, you might say, wait, hold on a second. That's not what I've been reading. But if you're never reading your Bible, somebody could come in here and hoodwink you pretty quick, couldn't they? You know, let me tell you why there are so many people deceived today, so many Christians deceived today? Because people aren't reading the book. That word of God is truth. Amen. And you have to know truth in order to spot the lie. Now here's the devil here, here's the Lord here in Genesis chapter 2, because the truth comes first. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 16. It says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that's what God said. Amen? Now flip over to Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, When you read that part right there, that should be a warning sign to every one of us. That the devil does nothing just out in the open really fast. It's all subtle. A little here, a little there, a little bit more here. That's the reason we always got to be careful about compromise. That's when we always got to be careful about allowing things in our homes and in our lives that you say, well, that's not exactly scriptural, but that's okay. No, we're not to give any place to the devil. Why? He's subtle. You see, he'll move a little bit here and move a little bit there, and all of a sudden, you know, you start to allow things in your life here and there, and then pretty soon you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, how did I get so far away from the Lord? Nobody became backslidden overnight, folks. It was a slow process. Why? The devil's subtle. Now look what here. Now the Lord already said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He questions the word of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She just added to the word of God. But now look what the devil says in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now wait a second. Over in Genesis 2:17, the Lord said, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shall surely die. And the devil said here, ye shall not surely die. Somebody's lying. Amen? Somebody's not being honest here, because you have one person saying, if you eat it, you're going to die. And the other one says, nah, and what he said isn't true. You can eat it and you'll be okay. So God said that they do not eat it. The devil said that you could eat it. You say, well, which one's being honest? Which one's telling the truth? Well, the Bible tells us who's lying, because in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Question, when they ate of it, did they die spiritually? Yes, they did. They sure did. And then not only that, but you get over Genesis chapter 5, and you'll find out that they died physically too. Now, in the day that they ate of it, they died spiritually, but it didn't stop there. Now they died physically later on. Why? Because the devil lied, and somebody took what the devil said and said, I'm going to believe that over the word of God. May I tell you that any time that you believe something over what the word of God says, do you know where that's coming from? The father of lies. The father of lies. When this world says it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that, and you know this is the 21st century. I mean, after all, 21st century, we could do these things. All that Bible's outdated, and you don't need to worry about those things. That's how they taught back then, but that's not the way we are now. Well, hold on, somebody's lying. Because the Lord said, these things I hate. These things are an abomination to me. Do you think he's changed his mind on them? No. But when the world says it's okay to do those things, I mean, after all, we'll just change the name of it and we'll claim it's okay. No, if God said it's not okay, then it's not okay. And so it says that God cannot lie. And so it's the devil who lied, because he is the father of lies. And one of the things that the devil has always done is he has always he's always lied to man about God. He says things like, God won't judge you for sin. He'll say things, well, God is love, and God would never send somebody to a literal hell. He says things like, we're all the children of God, because we all come from Adam. Or maybe he'll say things like, you know, the Lord's just trying to keep good things from you. The Lord is, you know, why do you reckon that people say, Christians say, why me, Lord? Because somebody's been whispering in their ear and telling them things that aren't true. Why? God always means the best for you. Did God mean the best for Adam and Eve? Yes. He wanted them to be in the garden, attend the garden, and he said, listen, there's one tree. You can't eat from that tree. If you eat from that tree, you're going to die. But you can have all the other trees you want. He wanted the best for them. Amen? God did not want them to eat from the tree. That's the reason he warned them about it. If he wanted them to eat from the tree, he'd have said, go ahead and eat from the thing. Or he wouldn't have said anything. He didn't want them to eat from the tree. And so the first thing you see is you see the devil come up to Eve and basically telling her, listen, God does not want the best for you. How do you get that, Pastor? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says this, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. You know what he was saying? There's something there that God's withholding from you because he doesn't want you to have it. And if you just take just a little nibble, you can have it. Just a little bit, never hurt anybody. Uh-huh. And what happened? Well, death was passed upon all men. The earth was cursed. Women, pain and childbearing. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Amen? Why? Because somebody believed a lie rather than the word of God. Satan was a liar from the beginning. And when we lie, we align ourselves with everything that brings death and destruction and damnation to this world. Sin is what leads to death, but it was sin that was brought about by a lie. We should not take lying lightly. There's no such thing as a little white lie. God is truth, and anything less than truth is wrong. And that is the origin of lying. Now I want to show you next not only the origin of lying, but the operation of lying. Lying has many faces, folks. You know, you're going to find out that people like to change the name of sins to try to take the edge off of it a little bit. But there are different ways that people lie, and we like to say it's okay as long as we call it this type of lie, or it's okay as long as we call it that type of lie. You say, well, what are some of the operations of lying? What are the different types of lying that, when it's all just lying, that's all it is. But we like to break it up into categories. And we like to say, okay, one's worse than the other. I'll give you an example. One name for lying is slander. Slander. That's lying with the intention of doing somebody else harm. Psalm 101:5 says, whosoever privily slandereth his neighbor, a neighbor, him will I cut off. I'd say God takes that pretty seriously. Now, some sins are worse than others in terms of damage done, that's for sure. For example, if I steal from you, I can always return it and no harm, no foul. I mean, unless you turn me into the cops, I'll still go to jail. But to you, as long as I return it, it's okay. But once you slander somebody, once those words go out your mouth, you can't bring them back. And it hurts people. Amen? When you say things that aren't true about people, it hurts them. It does damage that you can never take back. And so we need to understand that there are different types of lying, and certainly slander is one of them. Another type of lying is what the Bible calls tale-bearing. A tale-bearer is a person who loves to tell things. They always share news, but they don't care about whether the facts are correct or not. How many of you noticed that a lot of that was going on TV this past week? Amen? People like to tell stories. They like to say this was happening and that was happening. Did you know that so-and-such over here did this? Or they'll say this. I heard a rumor. I heard that a person did this and I heard that. And they don't even care if it's true or not. But they'll tell you the story. They'll tell you the story. This is also known as gossip. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Next time you enjoy listening to somebody gossip, remember this one fact. If they will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. And if they will tell you stories about other people, they'll tell stories about you. Best thing you do when somebody comes up and says, hey, guess what I heard about this person? Just stop them right then and there, because chances are what they're telling you, half of it isn't even true anyway. Just stop them right there. You know, every church does seem to have two or three people who seem to always know the inside scoop on everybody. Amen? I tell you this, I love Graceway Baptist Church, and I think that so far we don't have a big problem with gossip, and I'm thankful for that. But I will tell you that just like all churches, we are vulnerable to it. The devil would love to come in here and get people talking about things and mentioning things and talking about people and saying things about people that aren't even true. Listen, even if they are true, it's none of our business. Amen?
Amen, brother.
But we are vulnerable to it. And I will tell you this, if for any church, the greatest danger is not what the forces coming from outside the church. It's the forces that's on inside of the church that will break a church apart. And so we need to keep on guard against tale-bearing and gossip. All right, another way that people lie is by lying by insinuation. Lying by insinuation. In other words, you don't actually say it, but you suggest it. I'll give you an example. If someone tells you, during the week, and they say, last Sunday we had a great morning service. The pastor preached a good message, and he was sober. Now that's absolutely true. Amen.
Yes.
That's absolutely true. But was there something insinuated there?
Yeah.
Amen. Now think about this. If you went and told somebody that downtown, you said an absolute truth. In other words, they could take you to court and they can disprove that you were lying. But you said something with the intent to mislead somebody. You use the truth to mislead somebody. And that's called lying. Think about that. You just told everybody that I get sauced half the time. He was sober. We need to be careful about that, folks. We need to be careful about the things that we say. And listen, don't ever use the truth to mislead somebody. That's a horrible thing. I mean, that is worse than you actually coming out and saying, hey, listen, he's hammered half the time he's behind the pulpit. That would be a lie. But what you did was you used the truth maliciously. That's probably even worse. Probably even worse. And so there is this lying by insinuation. I'll tell you another way that people lie is they lie through flattery. Or insincere praise, or what we call buttering somebody up. Now, listen, every parent here knows that kids love to butter up their parents. They'll say things. Isn't it strange how kids will say, when they get something they want, they'll say, boy, you're the best dad ever. Man, you are. Or if they want something, they'll say, boy, dad, you're a good boy. You're just something else, dad. You're the best dad ever. But you ever notice that when they don't get something, how that automatically changes? How could you go from the best dad ever to somebody that they just don't even want to talk to anymore? How could it happen? What kids will do is they'll butter you up and you say, well, what do? They do it so they can get something that they want. They butter you up. May I tell you, grown-ups do the same thing. Grown-ups will do the same thing. If they think they would help their cause, they're going to say certain things to certain people that aren't true at all. If they think it'll help them out. Salesmen do this. They'll butter you up. They'll say, it's basically saying something to somebody's face that you never say behind their back. Amen? And so I heard one person say that if a person starts buttering up, it's probably because he wants to get ready to have you for lunch. I don't know if that's true or not, but another way that people lie is, and this is a big one, is they give half-truths. In other words, they'll tell you the truth, but they won't tell you the whole story. Again, when it comes to kids, one of the things they'll do is they'll say things like, okay, and they start to leave. Well, where are you going? I'm going over to Susie's house. Okay. But what they're not telling you is that after they get to Susie's house, her and Susie's going to go somewhere else. You see, what they told you is enough truth to get what they want, but they didn't tell you the whole truth. Do you know why today that when you go in a court proceeding, you have to put your hand on the Bible and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Do you know why people have to do that? It's because you had people that got on the witness stand and they didn't tell the whole truth.
They didn't tell any truth.
They didn't, some of them didn't tell any. Some people just lie flat out. Some people didn't tell the whole truth, and some people told things other than the truth. And in order to get that, in order to get it to the point where it's actually perjury, they had to cover all their bases. So that way you couldn't just tell half the truth, because you get up there and you tell half the truth, then you're lying. So you get up there and say, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why? Because a whole bunch of people are not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's what we're guilty of a lot of times. We'll tell a partial truth, but we don't give the whole story. We tell people what we want them to hear, but we don't give them all of it. And folks, that's just as bad as just telling a flat-out lie to somebody's face. Listen, if you really want to know what lying is, it is the intent to deceive.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's the intent to deceive. And anything that you say that has any intent to deceive anywhere in it is a lie. We're supposed to be honest. You know, people today, when they start to think, well, now, technically, I wasn't lying. You know what that is? You may as well just wave a flag and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen? Technically, I wasn't lying. What you're basically saying is, well, I didn't technically say a lie, but I did deceive. What if the Lord operated that way? He said he's truth. Listen, nothing he ever said ever had the intent to deceive anybody. He told you as it is. Told you exactly the way things are. Amen? That's the way we're supposed to be. If we're going to be Christ-like, we should never have an intent to deceive anybody. But sometimes we do. Half-truth is a lie. Nothing but the truth. If it's not nothing but the truth, it's a lie. All right, another way that we sometimes lie is by exaggeration. Exaggeration. Probably nobody's more guilty over this than preachers. Amen? Exaggeration. You say, what are you talking about? Saying things like, I've cried a whole barrel of tears over this. A whole barrel of tears. I've done this a million times. Really? A million times, huh? Fishermen. Amen? Fishermen are big on this. We went out, caught, we got in that trout, and I'll tell you what, folks, if you caught a trout that big in this state, get it mounted.
Right.
Amen? For some reason, everybody's caught them like that. May I tell you that sometimes we exaggerate. Hunters exaggerate. Fishermen exaggerate. What we'll say is we'll say things and then we'll boost it up, because really the story isn't exciting enough. We've got to boost it up some and throw something in there that isn't exactly true in order to make it sound better. Just tell the truth. Amen? Hey, listen. The bottom line is this. If you go out fishing and you don't come back with any fish, you got shut out. I don't care if the thing swallowed your boat. You got shut out.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things my mom told me, my grandmother told me, she said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
That's right.
That's good advice. That's good advice. But you can apply that to being dishonest. If you can't tell the truth, just don't say anything at all. That leads me to our next way of lying, and that is little white lies. Little white lies. Aunt Margaret walks in the door and she's got this big old hat with fruit on it, tag hanging down there, and she goes, what do you think about this hat? Oh, it looks great, Aunt Margaret. Now see, we'll justify that. And we'll say, well, I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Look at this baby. Isn't it beautiful? Yes, it's so beautiful. Listen, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. Not all babies are beautiful. They aren't. Now, they're all precious, and they're all gifts from God, and I love every baby. But some babies aren't as beautiful as others. Amen? You say, well, how do you handle that one, Pastor? I say, that's some baby. Amen? I mean, if you think about it, hey, I'm not trying to deceive anybody.
No.
It's some baby. They're all some baby. Amen. But now, I tell you this. You want to see a beautiful baby? Have you seen Sarah's baby? I'm telling you, that's a good-looking baby right there. Amen. Amen. I've seen pictures of myself. I can honestly say I was not that beautiful. I had the cone head and everything else. I'm sure somebody looked at me and said, some baby. But here's the thing. Sometimes we'll say things because we don't want to hurt other people's feelings. When that happens, the best thing you need to say is nothing at all. But you cannot justify lying for any reason. You can't. Why? You always have the option of silence. You know, Aunt Margaret walks in the door, what do you think about my hat? Just look at it and go, ah. Just don't say anything. Make a grunt. Walk away. Say, I've got coffee burning on the stove. Something. Amen? As long as it's the truth. As long as it's got to be the truth. Okay? And so, sometimes we lie. Sometimes we exaggerate. Sometimes we get to thinking it's okay to say little white lies as long as it's not hurting somebody else's feelings. I tell you this, folks, one of the things I've always appreciated. Now, I don't know is because maybe I grew up because my dad was older when I grew up, and he was an older man, and all of his friends were older. And so I grew up with a bunch of people who had no problems at all telling you exactly how things were. In other words, if I was not doing what I was supposed to, they wouldn't try to sugarcoat it. They come up and say, you're messing up, boy. You better straighten up. This is what you're doing.
Right.
You know something? I always appreciated that. I always did. I always appreciated preachers. My favorite preachers in the world today are the ones that just flat tell you the way it is, rather than trying to beat around the bush on it. Right. I'm not interested in beating around the bush. Hey, listen, if I've got something on my face, if I've got something in my hair, if I've got something on my jacket, just tell me about it. I'll take care of it. We're good. But don't sit there and hem-haw around with it. Just tell me the way it is. Why? Because people appreciate truth in the end. They do. I will say this, not everybody can handle the truth. Some people get mad at the truth. But I'll tell you this, if you get mad at the truth this morning, something's wrong with you. You know what? There are a lot of people today that when the truth is preached to them, they can't handle it. And they say, I just don't like that preacher. He's always preaching to me. And they walk out and they leave and they say, I'm just not going to listen to that bunch of hypocrites. Hey, listen. If that word of truth point out something to you, it's the truth. Now you can handle it, you can't handle it. And so we need to make sure that we're preaching the truth. So now we've looked at the origin of lies and the operation of lying, but how do we overcome the sin of lying? Well, one of the easiest ways to overcome the sin of lying is to understand the importance of truth. And truth is the very character and nature of God. Jesus said this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus not only said that, but here's what he said about the Holy Spirit in John 15:26. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. When you think of truth, you think of the Trinity. Why? It's the very nature of God. Truth is the very nature and characteristic of God. But at the same time, lies and falsehoods are the very character and nature of the devil. And truth is the character, where truth is the nature and character of God. And so if we're telling the truth, we're being more Christ-like. And if you're telling a lie, even if you're exaggerating, even if you're telling a white lie, you're being like the devil. Second thing we must do in order to overcome lying is not only understand the importance of truth, but we're to love the truth. And this involves a change of heart for all of us. David said this in Psalm 51:6. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God desires truth on the inside of us. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to think true thoughts, to be truthful on the inside, not to be deceivers. Another thing that we should do is not only love the truth, but to fill our thoughts with truth. In other words, don't sit there and always think of ways to get by something by deceiving somebody. Think about the things of heaven. Think about the things you're supposed to be thinking about. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. First two things there was things that are true and things that are honest. Amen. You know what we're supposed to be thinking about? You're not, listen, if you're sitting here today or during this week and something comes up and you say, well, now what can I say to get out of this? Or what can I say that'll further my cause? It may not be 100% true, but close enough. Or maybe you're thinking about how you can exaggerate something. That's wrong thinking. You're supposed to be thinking about things that are true and honest. You know what you need to be thinking about? How can I tell this person the truth without hurting his feelings? How, you know, I need to tell the truth on this. That's what you should be thinking about. But so many times we think wrong thoughts. We think wrong thoughts. We're to saturate our mind with truth like the Word of God, which is truth. That's how we get by it. And John 8:32 says, and the truth shall make you free. And then finally, if we're going to overcome the sin of lying, not only must we fill our minds with truth, but we must live the truth. Amen. Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are to be accountable to others, be open to others, be willing to stop other people when they start to slander or gossip. If you do lie, immediately confess it, immediately correct it, and immediately commit yourself to the truth. You know, a lot of times when a lie pops out, you can stop right there and say, wait a second, I misspoke. Let me tell you what happened. Amen? You always have that option. Remember, the Bible says that God has always provided a way out of temptation. We need to take that. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, are you an honest person? Or do people question you and wonder about your genuineness? Do you have a reputation of someone who tells lies and who is dishonest? When you tell people something, do they have to check up on you to see if you're telling the truth? Now, folks, there's something wrong if that's the case. We should not be known as anybody that's dishonest because it puts us in the wrong company. We're Christians, followers of Christ. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to have good testimonies. And you know what? Today, if you say, okay, I'm going to do something, when we were kids, we used to just shake on it and it was good. Amen? In fact, that's one of the things we'd say. We'd say this, we'd say, shake on it. Now, once you shook on it, you were committed for forever to do it. Amen? Those days are gone. That's the reason you have contracts and lawyers and you have to have everything. You have to. That is the very reason that you have notaries today. Because people like to be dishonest. Let that never be said about a Christian. Never be said about a Christian. Your word should be as good as your signature. Your word should be as good as your signature. We need to be honest folks. Amen?